Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 369. The tune is Hollyhurst 874. How pleasant, how divinely fair, O Lord of hosts, thy dwellings are. With long desire my spirit faints to meet the assemblies of thy saints. Hymn 369. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in Psalm 119, and we will read from verse 29 through to verse 152. Psalm 119, commence reading at verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Trouble and anguish have they taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, thou art that high and lofty one that inhabitest eternity, whose name is holy. And we bow before thee, the Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit. We come, Lord, to worship thee, the one and only true God, infinite and eternal, infinite in thy wisdom and love and grace, infinite in thy holiness and in thy judgments and justice. Lord, we would tremble as we bow before thee, for we are sinners, poor, needy, wretched sinners, unclean, unrighteous altogether, corrupt in our very nature, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. O Lord, our heart sometimes seems to be a boiling pot of unrighteousness and corruption, and we do desire to bow before thee in solemn confession of our sins and our sinfulness. And the awful corruption of our nature, we find an echo in our heart of the words of the dear apostle when he cried out in the anguish of his soul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we think also of the prophet of old, that when he declared from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. And we think, O Lord, of the other prophet who declares, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Great God, we prove it to be so. And we have a great enemy, even Satan. And Lord, sometimes he comes as a roaring lion to devour us. And sometimes he comes as an angel of light to deceive us. And we have not the wisdom nor the power within ourselves to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. But thou hast promised in thy holy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And Lord, that is what we need continually. We need it, O Lord, in our private lives. And we need it in the public means of grace. We need to be delivered from sin and from its power and from its dominion. And to be delivered from the power and temptations of the wicked one. O thou great God, do keep us. Thou hast promised in thy word that thou wilt always make a way of escape for thy children. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst constantly lead us by thy Spirit and grace unto Jesus Christ, that we may trust in him, that we may touch the hem of his garment. We come this evening hour like that dear woman of old, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Lord, we need that vital union and communion with Jesus Christ. We desire to hear the voice of our beloved. We desire to see his countenance. And we desire to worship in his holy hill of Zion. We desire, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst speak by thy Spirit and grace into our hearts. May be a word of power that shall be sealed into our hearts. The word of thy grace. O Lord, we do thank thee that though we are so wretched and ruined and lost and undone in ourselves, and yet thou hast made a wonderful provision in the glorious person of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We bless thee for the glory of his name, for the wonder of his grace, for the fullness of his salvation, for the perfection of his life. In him, the holy law of God has been magnified and honoured, and thy name has been glorified in his perfect holy life. O most gracious Lord, we thank thee that our Lord Jesus Christ is our law fulfiller, and that he has brought in everlasting righteousness. And we have hope in him, in that glorious everlasting robe of his righteousness. We pray as we gather round thy word this evening hour, we may feel and know the power and truth of that word. 'Tis he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We thank thee for that precious blood that he shed, and those glorious words of grace, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, this is our only hope. And for this we bless thee and thank thee and adore thee for the wonders of thy grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that in that holy sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he has put away sin by the offering of himself. He has satisfied all the demands of divine justice. That sword of divine justice found its mark in our glorious substitute. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. O thou great God, we do bless thee for a Saviour that died, that willingly died, laid down his life for his friends, that he might rise again and swallow up death in victory and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. O Lord, we desire to enter into thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving for the glory of his name. For such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We thank Thee that our Jesus is the Son of God, and that He has said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Oh, we thank Thee, for through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And for this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we do bless Thee for that sacred Spirit of adoption. For God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We thank Thee that we have access unto Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the sacred and most wonderful and precious gift of Thy Spirit. We bless Thee for His heavenly power. We thank Thee that we have known what it is to be convinced of our sin, and we continually know it, Lord. And we bless Thee for that divine work of the Spirit in the heart. We thank Thee for those sweet revelations of Jesus Christ, raised up to a glorious hope in His finished work, in His precious blood. Great God, we desire to bless Thee, our triune Jehovah. We do pray Thy blessing upon us as a church and congregation, that the glory and light and power of the gospel may shine forth among us. May the power that brings salvation be exerted in the word. May there be that sealing of the Spirit even this evening hour, as we gather round the word, and that there may be, O Lord, that divine savour and unction of the Spirit known in our assemblies, and that poor sinners may be drawn by the infinite grace of our eternal Father, for none come except the Father draw, and that we may be enlightened, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that the word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, we pray that the word of the Lord may have free course, and Thy name be honoured and glorified. We pray for each one in the sanctuary, and each one that listens on the internet, that it may be a time when the word of the Lord will be powerfully applied into our hearts, that we might know the power of truth, that we may not be left just to rest in the letter of Thy truth, that we may know its living power in our hearts, in our souls. We do humbly beseech Thee. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou in Thy precious mercy would look upon each one in all their various concerns. Every heart knoweth its own bitterness. And Thou knowest how each one has come into the sanctuary this evening hour. May those in bondage be brought into liberty. May those in darkness be brought into light. May those far off be made nigh. Oh, hear us, O Lord, we humbly beseech Thee, and work mightily, powerfully and effectually among us. Bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. We thank Thee for them. Pray that we may continually be united together in the sacred bonds of Christian love, and that pastor and deacons may be as a threefold cord that cannot easily be broken. We thank Thee for our brethren and sisters in Christ, in church fellowship. We pray for each one graciously. Lord, bless us together. Continue to grant us that love and union and communion one with another, and grant that we may speak often one to another of the wonderful things of Thy everlasting grace. We do humbly beseech of Thee. We pray, dear Lord, for each member of our congregation, that the glory and light of the gospel may shine. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou in Thy precious mercy was graciously grant signs to follow the preaching of the word, that one and another may be constrained by Thy irresistible grace to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to Thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. May we as a church be much in prayer, wrestling, labouring, travailing with Thee, to see Zion's offspring come. Hear us, O Lord, we do beseech of thee for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion. We pray for the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey, that thy rich blessing may rest upon them. They may be brought to living faith in Jesus Christ, raised up to a precious hope in that mercy that flows through Jesus Christ our Lord. We lovingly commend them to thee in life's journey. Guide them, direct them, undertake for them in all their concerns and all their burdens. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Raise up a seed that shall call thee the Redeemer blessed, and constrain them by thy grace to follow thee. Oh, we do pray that the love of Christ may constrain us, and that we may be rooted and grounded in love, and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge in its length and breadth and height and depth. Oh, that may be our blessed portion, we do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, for each one then that has gathered here this evening hour. Pray for those that are yet dead in trespasses and in sins, and know nothing of the power of thy loving kindness and thy grace in Jesus Christ, but come to the house of God like the door upon its hinges. Oh Lord, may we see precious souls quickened into life. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that the glory and light and power of the gospel may shine into this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus set up in the hearts of sinners, that we may see the fulfilling of thine ancient promises, I will work and who shall let it? I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth. I will bring them from the north and the south, from the east and from the west. With weeping and with supplications will I lead them. Great God, Almighty God, let us see thy work and thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. May we see a reviving. May we see a renewing, and may it please thee to revive and renew and replenish thy children for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, for any that have come into the sanctuary this evening hour with a particular burden, with a heavy heart, with that desire for light and understanding in thy word. Graciously meet with them. We do humbly beseech of thee. Remember each and every one in the midst of the journey of life. And graciously guide us by thy counsel. And afterward receive us unto glory. Take us safely and honourably through life's journey. Deliver us in all the snares and the pitfalls. Thou hast promised in thy word that he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, and thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. For we do pray that we may have that precious faith to lay hold of our almighty Saviour, of our eternal Father, for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless the word of the Lord distributed among the villages. May there be an abundant harvest in due season. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless the word of the Lord as it goes forth on the internet. The day will declare it. We pray, most gracious God, for those in old age and its feeling weaknesses and infirmities. Be with them, strengthen them, help them. Put the arms of thine everlasting love around them. And give them to feel and to know and to sweetly experience. Thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Be the father of the fatherless and the husband of the widow, we do beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon each one of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. We pray, most gracious Lord, for the dear friends at Tunbridge Wells, the loss of a dear pastor. And thou knowest all their concerns and their burdens, and we lovingly commend them to thee. Pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they go in and out among them, and that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. Lord, we pray for the churches up and down the land. Oh, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would remember our nation and graciously send out thy light and thy truth in this very dark and solemn day in which we live, when iniquity abounds on every hand and the powers of Antichrist seem to gain the ascendancy. O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, O thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth, we do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy holy word. Come and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. Come and grant that we may delve into the deep that coucheth beneath in thy word. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. And oh, make up in giving where we do so fail in asking, as we ask all in that lovely, sacred, precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 462. The tune is Kim Ronda, 902. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462. Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to Psalm 119, and we will read for our text Psalm 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. The desire, the longing desire of a living soul. A desire to be led and taught, guided and directed by the Spirit of God. We often quote that verse here in the verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To guide, to direct, a lamp and a light, to guide and to direct. The Lord, he says in his word, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Is that how you feel? To be blind, to be poor, to be needy, to be helpless, and to be very fearful of the way. Of the way wherein you have to walk and the steps that you have to take. We read in the Psalm 37 that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man, they are ordered by God. All our steps. I remember many years ago, and there was a word, it was when I was deeply burdened and exercised concerning the ministry. There was a word in Jeremiah that was made particularly special to me in the 10th chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. And the Lord made that word very precious to me. Verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's for God. You look at it in the broadest sense of the word, in the eternal covenant of grace, and my mind, it just goes to that that beautiful hymn, and how John Kent, he puts it so clearly, so beautifully. There is a period known to God when all his sheep redeemed by blood, all his sheep, redeemed by blood. You know, they shall turn to the fold and enter in. And their pathways before this were contrary to God and to his ways and to his truth. But once the Spirit of God begins to work, once the fear of the Lord is put into the heart, and then there is that desire that is wrought in the soul to be made right with God and to walk right before God and to do what is right in his eyes and to follow him and serve him. And though you feel so deeply fearful and troubled and tried and perplexed, and yet there is still that desire that bubbles up within your heart. See, the psalmist, he says, doesn't he, elsewhere, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. How many of us have come here to the sanctuary tonight, and that can honestly be said to be the desire of your heart? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. You know, the Spirit of God, he, in the inward teaching of the Spirit in the heart, he brings us humble, sincere, hungering and thirsty. As we read in Psalm 107, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Fainted within them. But in that same psalm, it says, and he led them forth by the right way unto a city of habitation. He led them forth by the right way. But you know, some of those ways, you read of some of the saints of God and how the Lord led them and guided them and directed them. And look at the pathway they had to walk. We could speak of Abraham. We could speak of Moses. We could speak of Joseph, of David, of Samuel, and the troubles and the trials and the perplexities and the sorrows and the losses and the crosses and the perplexities that came into their pathways. But it was still ordered. It was divinely ordered. You know, our flesh is sinful. It's corrupt. It always has been, and it always will be. It will never be any different. I should never forget, I know I've often told you of it, never forget a season when that word seemed to walk up and down in my soul, week in, week out. Turn again, O Son of Man, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And every time I turned my eyes within, there was another sin, another iniquity, another unrighteousness. My heart seemed to be such a nest of sin and iniquity and unrighteousness. And each time that word, turn again, I saw more wickedness, more evil, more unrighteousness. I got so cast down. I thought I was completely out of the secret. Can ever God dwell here? Can ever I really be a child of God when I feel and see and know such iniquity and unrighteousness within me? And it was just one line of a hymn that sealed that teaching into my heart. Bearing in mind that for weeks that had been with me, and then this one line of a hymn, I could take you to the very spot in Crowborough where it happened. It just dropped into my heart. Nor can I promise future good to bring. I shall never forget that. In a moment, I saw that I always would be a wicked, sinful man. My flesh would never be any better. It's a very crucifying thing to be taught that. All the time that I was on this earthly pilgrimage, my flesh would never be any better. I always would be a sinful, wicked, corrupt man. And my heart, my wicked heart, always would be. But the apostle, you know, he puts it in different language to that. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. It's painful, though, when the Lord really brings you to feel it and to know it. And then when he really brings you to feel and know, it never will be any different. But I tell you what, something that the Lord showed me there when he revealed that to me so clearly and so emphatically. There would never be any salvation in myself. Never through any good works that I could do. Everything I touched was stained and dyed with sin. Nothing I'd got. Top lady comes up with that very point, doesn't he? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly, Wash me, Saviour, or I die. And this, my beloved friends, is part of divine teaching, the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the living child of God. And then there is that desire, because they feel to be so sinful and so prone to wander, order my steps in thy word. That's the desire. That is the longing desire of the living child of God. Order my steps in thy word. You know, the last verse is striking, isn't it? Right the way through this Psalm 119, this is the most prominent of the alphabetical psalms. There are, I think, 7 alphabetical psalms, but this is the most prominent. You will notice at the top, each section of 8 verses is called a stanza. And at the top of each stanza, there is a Hebrew letter. And in this psalm, there are 22 stanzas. The reason being, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So this is an alphabetical psalm. And then throughout the psalm, we constantly have a reference to judgments, testimonies, statutes, commandments, word, precepts. What does it mean? It all means the word of God. Even when he's saying judgments, what he means by calling the word of God, it's in the judgment of God. This book, the blessed book of truth, the Bible, is God's holy word. It's God's judgment on a matter. That's what it means. To the law and to the testimony. The Old Testament and New Testament. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to my word, it is because there is no light in them. You just think of that. It's because there is no light in them. The living child of God desires to be led of the Lord and to walk consistent with the holy word of God. Order my steps in thy word. Is it Jeremiah that says thy words were sweet and I did eat them and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart? See, there's a eating in a spiritual sense of the word and a digesting of the word of God, of the truth of God, by the living child of God. You must ever remember that these things are spiritual things. And the language is it's a spiritual book. We by nature are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's our state and our condition as before a holy God. And it's only as the Holy Ghost quickens our soul by the word of God, sowing the word of God, or in planting or engrafting, these are all scriptural terms, or engrafting the word of God into our hearts by the living spirit of the living God. That is when he's prepared a seed bed. You look at the farmer when he goes to sow his seed. Does he just go out to a rough piece of land and throw his seed around and think, well, that'll do, something will come up? Of course he doesn't. He takes great care. He ploughs up the ground. And just as it says in the word of God, plough up your fallow ground, ye men of Judah. It's a spiritual term. And the Spirit of God, he ploughs up the ground of the heart. He convicts and convinces of sin. And then what else does he do? Well, he then takes a harrow and he puts the harrow over that ploughed ground. He breaks down the large clumps of soil, and there's a time of breaking down. He's preparing a seedbed. I know in the day in which we live, They have some very large different machinery that they use to, as it were, break up the soil. But I can remember distinctly when I was a boy seeing a tractor going over the ploughed field with a harrow on it, breaking it up. And then what does he do? He then brings in the sower. And he sows the seed into that ground that has been broken up and prepared. Now, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does in the heart of a poor sinner. He ploughs up the fallow ground of the heart. And then, you know, it's a term that is generally used among us, that if we have a very painful, trying experience, it's often said a harrowing experience. It was so harrowing. Well, that's the illusion or the illustration of the smashing down and the breaking up of the soil. And, you know, when the Spirit of God does that, when he truly works in our heart, constantly brings us to see our lost condition, convinces us of certain sins, it's a harrowing experience. But he's preparing the ground. Now, these harrowing experiences, my beloved friends, they're not just the initial first experience of the living child of God. Indeed, some of the Lord's living family, they're led very gently. Very gently. But each one is brought to know. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove, the margin says, convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what the Holy Ghost does. You know, we read in the 6th of Proverbs and verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Are the way of life. The commandment, a lamp. I don't want to go into it, but if you look at the context there in Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You think of the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And it goes on immediately, it says, keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You see, the commandment is a light. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And you think of the words of our Lord Jesus, the commandment is a light, the sacred precepts of the gospel. He says, but I say unto you, that he that looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her in his heart hath committed adultery already. The law is spiritual. It enters into the very thoughts and intents of our heart. The word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the joints and marrow, the soul and spirit, and the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there anything that is not made manifest unto him. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The way of life. You see, my beloved friends, we have these instructions that are given to us throughout the Word of God and the truth of God. And my mind this afternoon was drawn, as it were, to the dear apostle as he wrote to his son Timothy in the faith. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and from verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And then he gives him some good advice. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then my mind was drawn to the second epistle to Timothy and the third chapter. And there, the exhortation that he gives to his son Timothy in the faith. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice that. Some people seem to think that just having a intellectual knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. So if you bring up your children, and we should, I'm not decrying it, we should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the word, but that some people think, well, that's it, they become a Christian because they're fluent in the word and they understand the word and they read the word and therefore they become Christians. Just look what it says. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. That's the vital thing, my beloved friends. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith is the gift of God. And that faith is wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And when faith is given, Christ is revealed. And then you see him as the way, as the truth, as the life, and you're raised up to a hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But then he goes on in his exhortations. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. See, and you see then the importance of our text. Order that my steps in thy word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This blessed book is given by inspiration of God. You know, we need to be very clear, as far as I can discern, the only book that is inspired is the Bible. I've heard people argue that the hymn book is inspired. No, it isn't. It's a very excellent hymn book and excellent hymns, and men of God indeed wrote, they were gifted to write in that way very beautifully, but it's not inspired. We must never put the hymn book on parity with the Word of God. There is only one inspired volume, and that is the Word of God. As we read elsewhere, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Lord Jesus, he said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. How we need that grace, my beloved friends, to do that, to search the holy scriptures of truth. Order my steps in thy word. It's a very precious thing. If the Lord has made you tender in the fear of the Lord, and there is that desire to have your steps ordered in God's word. We read in the first chapter of the Epistle of James, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He begat us, as begotten into life by the Holy Ghost, with the word of truth. When that word is sealed into the heart, it's made a living word in the soul, Just for a moment, as we often draw your attention to it, the last few verses of the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter, just a couple of pages further along from James. And he says there in those last verses, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now come back to James chapter 1 and verse 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The engrafted word. You know, the illustration is like when you graft into a fruit tree, an apple tree or a pear tree, and you graft in another branch into it from another tree. And this is what the apostle is using, this illustration. And that when the child of God is born again of the Holy Ghost, they're grafted into the living vine, united to the living vine, to Christ. They're engrafted. He spends, I think it's in the Romans, a whole chapter on that engrafting. It's the word of God. Now, what does he go on to say about those that have received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls? You see, this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. But what does he go on here to say? What he emphasizes? "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own souls." That's a solemn thought, isn't it? "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He likens there the word of God to a mirror. Have you found it like that? I have. When you read the word of God and it reads you, sometimes you feel yourself to be so defiled, and you read the word of God and it reads you. You find that there was others of the Lord's family that were so sinful and so defiled, and the word reads you. But then he goes on and he says in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." That perfect law of liberty is the sacred and glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the law of liberty. That's where light and life come from. You never get any life from the law. It's death. It's damnation under the law. But through that glorious law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty, even the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of his grace, that's where you'll find perfect liberty. "If the Son shall make you free, then shall ye be free indeed." You shall be free indeed. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A doer, a follower. You know, does your faith rise up and you follow? You follow in the way that the word of God has laid down? You follow the Lord Christ? you desire to follow, you desire to be near him, you see a beauty in him, you see a loveliness in him, you see a glory in him. Order my steps in thy word. He's given us his word. It's a wonderful gift, the word of God. The most precious gift that the Lord has given to us. May we not slight the word of God, but may we constantly read it. But not just read it, but digest it. And not just digest it, but walk it out. Walk it out. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, he says in the previous verse, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Be merciful unto me. It's like the publican of old, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, my beloved friends, there is such a thing as those that ask for God's mercy to be delivered from damnation, from condemnation. You might say, well, that is good and that is right. It is, as far as it goes. But there's more to real religion than just being delivered from damnation and from condemnation. There is a desire in the living child of God to follow on to know the Lord. Not just have mercy, but to follow him. Follow him whithersoever he leads. Do you desire to follow him? And with that desire, knowing something of the inward corruption and iniquity of the heart, there's a desire to be delivered from it. Delivered from the power, from the dominion of sin. Sin becomes hateful. Christ becomes precious. What a solemn thing if we don't know these breathings after Christ, to follow him, to serve him. If we don't know what it is to hate sin and to abhor sin, you know, you'll never abhor sin more than when you're brought as a poor, repentant sinner to the cross of Christ. And when you're brought to see that glorious Saviour suffering, bleeding, dying in your room, place and stead, that is where you will hate sin. You'll abhor sin when you see what it done to Jesus Christ. My sins were the nails and the sword. They pierced his hands and his feet and his side. It was my sins that nailed him to that cross. When you really feel that, you'll hate sin. That's where real repentance will bring you. It will bring you as a poor sinner, melted in repentance and faith, looking unto Jesus, trusting alone in him, melted under a sense of his loving kindness and his goodness, and weeping and grieving that it was your sins that nailed him to that cross. That will truly sanctify. I have to say this, friends, I've never known anything that sanctifies so blessedly as this, a sight of a crucified Saviour. You'll hate sin, you'll abhor sin, you'll love Christ. You'll hate those sins that caused him such pain. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, the reason why the Lord has appointed, I know it's not actually written in Scripture that you should have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper once a month. We actually follow the teachings of John Calvin on that. It was John Calvin that felt that to have the Lord's Supper every single Lord's Day, as some do, he felt that was too frequent and you become over familiar with it. There are others that have the Lord's Supper or communion services perhaps three times a year. They follow the three feasts of the Jewish, the Levitical order in the Old Testament. But John Calvin, he said, in his opinion, that wasn't frequent enough, and that once a week was too frequent, so you become over familiar. He felt that once a month. Now, what is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? I'm not laying down that we're absolutely right on that, because the scripture is silent and so must we be. But what is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See, my beloved friends, it's a divine command of the gospel unto a poor sinner that has been raised up to a precious hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I remember years ago reading a piece by J.C. Philpott, and he was speaking of how the Lord keeps his children, keeps them from sin, open sin. He said one of the ways that the Lord keeps his children, it says, they're baptized in his name and they become a member of a visible church of Jesus Christ. And they sit down at the Lord's table in that right way, according to New Testament church order, baptized, and then sit at the Lord's table. And he said, that is one of the means that the Lord uses to keep his children. They have brethren and sisters in Christ. And when sin and Satan attack them and they feel its terrible workings within, they have to cry to the Lord to keep them. Otherwise they will bring a shame on the cause of God and truth, and they will bring a shame on the church to which they belong, and they will put to shame before their brethren and sisters in Christ. I thought it was a beautiful way how he explained that that is one of the means that the Lord uses to keep his children from open sin and from falling away when they become a visible member of the church of Jesus Christ. A little that a righteous man hath is better than all the gifts of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath. And perhaps that's how you feel. You say, but I've got so little. You know, I remember when I went forward to be baptized, that's just how I felt. I had so little. To me, my religion was so small, and I greatly feared to ever speak of it before anyone. Indeed, until I went forward, I hadn't spoken to hardly anyone about it. But you know, when the Lord constrained me by his grace to tremblingly go forward and to just speak what I hoped the Lord had done for my soul, how wonderful that was. You see, order my steps in thy word. It was the Lord that led me. And it was according to his holy word to follow Jesus Christ. As he says, when he was baptized in Jordan, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's the words of Christ. This do in remembrance of me. That's the words of Christ. It's the word of Christ unto his children. Order my steps in thy word. And when we go beyond that, my beloved friends, that's the sacred ordinances of God's house. But in whatever it is that you have upon your mind that you are to do, the first thing we must ask, is it consistent with the word of God? Is it according to the truth of God? We must always ask that. Bring it to the plumb line of Holy Scripture. And the other thing is, if you've got something that you have on your mind, firstly, is it consistent with the word of God? Secondly, can you really ask the Lord's blessing upon it? If you can't ask the Lord's blessing upon it, you shouldn't do it. Well, my beloved friends, May the Lord instruct us, lead us, guide us and direct us in his ways. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 1003 to the tune Southwell 239. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statute still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Hymn 1003. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.